why is it that some people receive what they ask for and some people don't receive what they ask for? Because faith right now has become like a speculation. People are speculating, does it work, does it not work? But already I'm here to tell you that I'm the prime example of faith. The building you're in is a prime example of faith. Now, if we open our books to Romans 4, let us make a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the food. Thank you for this, the socializing. Thank you for the word that we're about to receive. I pray that these lips of clay may be delivered words with boldness and accuracy, and that those who hear it may be able to not only listen, but also be able to discern and get a revelation of who you are, and that we may understand the deepness and the significance of faith in the Christian life, and we may understand why faith is so important, and it's the only thing that pleases God. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I pray that those of you who do not understand, just write it down. One day the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the hidden things. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to shock you when we're going to go into this topic that seems so simple, but yet so many people can't really comprehend or understand what exactly it is. So if we open up Romans 4, and we first, if anyone doesn't have a Bible, just pass the Bibles around. Everyone's got a Bible? Yep. Romans 4, reading from 1. Who would like to read this for us?
Me.
Yeah, go ahead.
What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh, is forward in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to justify, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but an obligation.
All right, we'll stop at 4. And we're now going to flip. Still in Romans 4, and we're going to read from 16. And he says this, verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of a faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now listen carefully to what it's about to say. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God. Now listen to this line, watch it, and highlight it in your Bibles very carefully. God, he says, God who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. What a line. Calls things which did not exist as though they did. And then he says, who, in contrary, actually we'll stop right there just to have a look at what we read before, read first. And so we understand that faith was accounted to Abraham as righteousness. What is it saying? Before we go into what it's saying, let's have a look. Let's get a simplification of this faith. Let me get a show of hands of the people who drove here. Everyone who drove here, You are all men and women of great faith. God looks at you and says, you guys have great faith because you drove here. And someone might say, wait, what you mean? See, the word believe is from the root word in the Hebrew, pisteo, which means to be persuaded, to be convinced, to commit to one's trust, to place confidence in, to entrust a thing to one. For you to get in your car and drive all the way to this place, you have to entrust your life to your car. You use faith without even knowing. You have to believe that your car will get you to the destination. And God is so good because people think that the Bible says everybody's been given a measure of faith, and people don't understand that. There is no man that can live in this world and not use faith. It's impossible. We all use faith. It's in the nature of human. It's an everyday act. You don't eat unless you believe the food is not poison. You don't walk unless you believe you can walk. You have to believe it to do it. Nothing that you do is just out of the fluke. Your mind has to say, it's true, I believe it, to do it. So faith is actually simpler than we think it is. We entrust a lot of things in life, and we give a lot of confidence in a lot of things, which is the essence of faith. But now there's a difference between having faith in God and having faith in everything else. It's not that you're not using faith, you are, but you're just using it for God. Some people have faith in their family. Some people have faith in their job. Some people have faith in their degrees. Some people have faith in their relationships. Let me give an example. If someone has faith in his relationship, they will invest so much because they know I can get a lot back from this person. And see, what you end up doing, you end up putting faith on that person. But when that person messes up on you, that's why you see people posting on Facebook and social media, I'm broken, I trusted you so much. Why? Because you put faith on them. But you see, the thing with God is God will never fail you, but man will fail you. But we won't put faith in God, we'll put faith in man. A lot of people have faith in the degree. Only if I collect 3 master's degrees, then I should be good. And then you get a degree, you get the best job. You boast. Have a look at what it said in Romans 4:1. It said, look at this. Have a look at this. If we read, it says, what then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, was found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. The reason why you see people boast is because they want to be appreciated. The whole idea of faith is it's a mixture. Faith comes with a bonus of grace, which means that now that you believe in God, that he can do the things that you are struggling with, he would not only do it for you, but he also recompense you. He'll give you more blessing on top of it. It's a double portion. However, later on it continues. Listen to these words. Ready? From 3, it says, look, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So the more you try to do things in your own strength, you're actually holding back your own success and you're putting yourself in debt mentally, psychologically. You're tangling. Have you seen a cord that's been tangled over and over? How much work does it take to untangle this cord? Is why? Because you are not capable to overcome the devil, which no one can. No natural man can overcome the devil. But people want to feel like they have an impact in their own life. They want to feel sovereign. The word sovereign means they want to feel like I can do it for myself. I am good enough for myself. I don't need you. And with that kind of mentality, you get yourself into things, you get yourself caught up. Because what? You become in debt mentally. And things like condemnation is a debt. Because now you got to pay it every time. You wake up in the morning, you felt good. 5 minutes later, you're condemned. The devil's asking you, pay up, pay up, pay up. But see, faith has always been a simple concept that we haven't grasped. But God says, look, faith is one level. But let me talk to you about the God kind of faith. And that's what he talks about in Romans 4. He says, look, from 17, he says, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of who you've believed. God, and the belief there is what I said there, in trust. So I've made you, he says to Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations because you've entrusted your life to me. Me who? God who gives life to the dead and call those things which do not exist as though they are. That is faith at a level of God, which we can also achieve. Matter of fact, achieve is the incorrect word because it's not your works, it's grace. We can also receive. That's the correct word there. It's not something you can work for. It's something you can receive. Matter of fact, a lot of people are using God kind of faith to trust their job. This person can kill himself for his manager. Why do you have so much faith in your manager? Oh, he's the one that's going to give me promotion. I heard one guy say, my promotion is coming up. Your promotion is coming up? Have a look at Psalm 75. Have a look at Psalm 75. Look at what he says. And 75 from 6.
From 1 to 6?
75, 6. 6, we'll start from 6. Okay. 75, 6, yeah. Psalm 75, 6. Alright, it says this. For exhortation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. In the New King James, that's, it says, promotion comes neither from the east, neither from the west, neither from the south, but God is a judge. He what? Why is he the judge? He's the judge because he puts down one and picks the other one up. He decides who goes up and who goes down. Just because you see someone physically on top of you in terms of career doesn't really mean they're up. Do you know what that person has to go through mentally to be there? A lot of people want to be famous, but they don't know the burden of being famous. But the first thing that God comes when he comes to you is he gives peace. How about having a life of rest where you're prospering and not stressing? Man, it's been what? It's been 5 years, man, since the last time I went through any form of depression or stress. 5 years, man. I'm living a free life. I don't need to toil. Because I realize the source, as long as you're connected to the source, you don't need to do what half of the people are doing. But what's the problem? The problem is we've been conditioned to pain. When you go through so much pain in your life, it conditions you. And now you say, well, I bond with this person. I really like this person. We have so much in common. You don't have so much in common. You're both oppressed. And because you're oppressed, people like to throw pity parties so you can talk negative together. I'm going through this. You're going through this. Oh, let's be best friends. Let's talk about it. My manager is saying negative things about me. Do you hate that manager too? I do too. Come together, pity party. So what really brings you together is not really friendship. It is the fact that you all holding a negative character, you've both been conditioned mentally, that you come together and do what? And embrace that carnality, that oppression. And the devil loves that because he'll reinforce, he'll tell the manager, go do something to them so I can reinforce it. And things like this would always stop you from functioning with faith in the level of a God. Because the whole idea is the type of faith that Paul is talking about in Romans 4 is the type of faith that gets you working in a position of a God. And we know at the very beginning we were created in the image of God, and God was not he wasn't lying when he said so. God says, look, you are created in my image, you have my nature. Matter of fact, Jesus says, the things that I can do, you can do also. He says, look, the faith that I'm using, you guys can use the same faith. But people are looking for excuses. Most of the time, we're either blaming or condemning. And so, this verse here said, Abraham believed God. Now, the question is, he believed God for what? What did he believe for? He believed for the promise. So there was a promise, a vision that was given to Abraham, a picture, a word that was given to Abraham, and Abraham heard those words from God and locked on to it. I'm going to believe in what he said. And what is this promise in the book? Let's have a look. There is promise, and this promise, the Bible calls it inheritance. For you to be able to overcome and to be able to use faith to come out of the depression you're in, or to come out of the financial debt you're in, to come out of the mentality you're in, you would have to first understand what is offered to you. Let's have a look. Revelation 5. We got to know what's offered to us. You can't ask for something you don't know about. Revelation 5, and we're going to read from 11.
Do you want me to read it?
He would like to read this one. You want to read that one again?
All right.
Read.
Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders.
No. Revelation 5:11.
Yeah, that's the one, right?
Oh, 12, sorry, yeah. Keep going to 12.
In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
All right, let's have a look. The Bible says, as Christ is in this world, so are we. So, this is what we're going to receive. He says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Riches. Wisdom. Strength. Honor, glory, and blessing. Have a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is the complete package. The number 7 represents in the Bible completion. How God created the world in 6 days and rested on 7 days. He did everything he had to do in 7 days. Completion, complete. So this is the completeness of your inheritance. Power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Now that we know what comes in a package, faith now is going to help us to possess this stuff. Now, to possess these things, we need to realize that Abraham, the reason why he was known as the father of faith is because when he spotted the blessing, he spotted the promise, sorry, he locked into it. And the key here is, write this down somewhere, faith for getting the promise is in the promise. Faith for getting the promise is in the promise. No, I need this board. I'm gonna draw a diagram.
Actually, see my eyes.
Faith for getting the promise. What are you people hearing? No. I need this part for diagram, man. Faith for getting the promise is in the promise. Now, let me give you guys an illustration. The prosperity of a seed is a tree. How do we know that the seed is good? When it turns into a
tree.
Where's the tree? Is the tree outside of the seed or within? The tree is suppressed within the seed. People are trying to go out there to find how they can better themselves, how they can get free, how they can overcome, how they can get faith. But God has placed everything in the heart of the man. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes that talks straight about this. He says, look, he has planted eternity in a man's heart. I won't go there because I need to touch on other stuff, but I'll write that down somewhere. Now, how do we know that a tree is prospering? The tree is prospering when it produces fruit. Where are these fruits from? Within the tree or outside? These fruits originate from within. Just like faith. Faith for getting the promise is inside the promise itself. If you're having, as you're going through a situation, let's say you're in debt, and you said, all right, I'm struggling through debt. I want to be debt-free. Find a promise. Open this book. Find your promise. Meditate on that promise, and the solution will come from within. Because God already placed everything. When Jesus said, it is finished, he wasn't joking. I have taken your life, went through your whole entire life, finished it, and then I've taken the whole entire package, put it back in you. That's what it means to know the end from the beginning. You are still living chapter one of your life, but Jesus already lived your whole entire life. He takes the whole thing and stores it straight back into you. Now people are trying, how do I get, you don't need to know, you don't need to go to anybody, man. Everything you need for your life is in you. Everything. Now, this is the interesting part. Now, if you get lost, the Holy Spirit will explain to you. Now, God does nothing without faith. And we know that it is impossible to please God without faith. Faith, we need to understand first, what was the purpose of this whole faith stuff? Faith is the currency for the kingdom. The kingdom of what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a system, a government that runs things according to laws and principles. And faith, it is the key to gaining your resources. It is the key to accessing your provision, which are stored in heavenly places. Faith gives you access to God's power, which comes along with what we've listed before: power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Now, to understand this, we need to understand how things work. Now, you guys write this down? Yeah. That's heaven. That's earth. I don't even know if I spell it right.
Yeah.
How I get earth wrong? I don't know what's going on in my mind, man. Someone help me out here.
He's thinking about the spelling of
this. Wow, I spelled this right? Man, this guy's name confused me.
You're not paid.
All right. God forgive me. Now, watch this very carefully. Now, heaven is the kingdom of God. And God, so this is a kingdom. And the way it works is, inside the kingdom, there's the king. And the king has his children. As long as the children are within the kingdom of the Father, they can never be kings. Never. As long as the children are inside the kingdom with the Father, because he's the king, you can't have two kings.
Yeah.
They can never be kings. Now, the children, because they're in the image of the Father, they want to be king. So the Father ships them to a place to go and possess the land so that they can also become kings. So the Father is a king. He ships them to a land where they can also become kings. And so when we look at the Father, we call him King of Kings.
Wow.
Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Now, when the children came here, they're supposed to have the nature of the Father, which is the nature of dominion. Let's have a look and see what Joshua says. Joshua 1:3.
Good job.
Joshua 1. Would you like to read it for us, Kai? Joshua 1:3, yep.
Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
You know what God is saying to Joshua right there? You were here. I've given you this land. Now, the moment you get here, colonize this land. Look at the Royal Kingdom, ready? Australia, we are under King from the UK. They sent Mr. Cook, he came out, colonized. And the first thing you do when you colonize another kingdom is you change the language. Oh. So you guys are out here yelling at Mr. Cook, but you guys are all colonizers, man. With the purpose of what? Go out to every nation. To do what? You got to literally colonize them. That the way things are done in heaven, we are bringing it to earth. That's what you see. In the UK, everybody that was there came out here. They changed the system, changed the language. Their language became primary language. Everything that was done through them. And they became rulers of the land. They make the laws. They decide what's right, what's wrong. That's the complete package of what? Dominion. Dominate where you go. So now God is saying, you guys came here to be kings, but when Adam got there, Adam lost his dominion. He fell from dominion. And because of that, this contact here got cut off. Now, if you're a colonizer, for you to have authority, the first thing people are going to ask is, where does this authority come from? And when Mr. Cook came here, he always had to go back in the UK, check what's going on there, and bring that culture to where he colonized. That's how the kingdom works. You have to be connected because your authority, your power, comes from where you come from. Not where you are. See, I see people, I've been talking to a lot of youth, and one of the common thing in the youth is that people go out and they'll do different stuff, try different things, and what it will do is it will shift their mentalities. And when people get into marriage, they carry the old mentalities into the new, something that's supposed to be new, and it destroys it. People want to do things their own way, and they want God to back them up. The whole idea of having a king here who sends his child is that you have to report back. You can only colonize if you have authority. And authority comes from this kingdom. Because this is the kingdom that has what? What's the inheritance? Wisdom? Strength? Power? Yep, riches. So a king will always be rich. So when people are saying, oh, poverty is the way we should be. No, stop this. You don't know who you are. I've never read a verse where Jesus was waiting on a salary. Or ask anybody for money. He never did. And now, what's happening? Because of sin, we got disconnected from the power source. And when we got disconnected from the power source, we are now lost. Why? Because you were getting instructions from the power source. Now that you don't have the map, you don't have the GPS, You're lost. You don't know where to go. That's when the life of trial and error starts. People don't know how to live life. We just trial and error. This works. Oh, this works. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. You try until you succeed, and then you fall again. So it's up, down. There is no consistency in anything. No one can give you a formula in life. Where really there is a formula in life. It is this book. It is the instruction manual of the king telling you how you're going to dominate where you live. How you're going to be stress-free for 50 years. How you're going to walk into a place and because of favor, they ain't even going to interview you. Man, I can't remember the last time I got interviewed. I just walk in and people say, oh, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, you got the job. Why do I have to put myself in a form of standard of this kingdom? I don't need to. It's not for a sense of arrogance, but it's a sense of rulership. You know where you come from. The devil can't oppress me. Why should I have to stress? How about living 5 years stress-free like I have? And this is only the beginning. Not a tiny bit of stress. Yes, the pressure comes in. But as long as I have the source, as long as I'm connected to the source, I will never want to go back to the lifestyle. Because I try to do it the hard way, man. I tell you, I try to do it the hard way. I read every single motivational book you can find, man. I killed myself when I was in year 12. I killed myself, man. I tried to become successful the hard way. I was in depression, man. I was trying to take my life away. And when I realized, I said, whoa, why am I running to the things where I have to do trial and error? Why do I have to trial and error? Why can't I just do it right the first time? In the kingdom of God, we have citizens. Now have a look at this perspective here. A citizen, I took some screenshot from the dictionary.com, it says this, is a native or naturalized member of a state or nation who's eligible to government and entitled to protection. An inhabitant or a city or town, especially one entitled to its privilege and franchises. When you're a citizen of a kingdom, you're entitled to its privilege, which is what the inheritance is. You're entitled to it. You don't have to stress for it. You don't have to work for it. That's the whole idea of grace. You are entitled to it. Because I'm born in my family, I don't have to stress for breakfast. I don't have to fight anyone for breakfast. I'm hungry, I open the fridge, take. I'm entitled to it. But if you are not from my family and you come in try to open my fridge, I say, who are you? Get out of here. See, you're not entitled to it.
I'm your friend.
Nah, forget it. Now, if you want to access a level of faith that is a God kind of faith, you first have to return to the nature of a God, which was the nature of the king. And the first thing to do that is, God is not interested in members. Because a lot of times you're trying to get Christian membership, some people get church membership, trying to just be there, yeah, I'm a member of this church. Forget all that. That's not going to get you to heaven. No, it's not going to get you dominion. Christ is interested in citizenship. See, Joyce, you can tell us a lot of stories. If you compare the benefits that an international student has compared to a native student, there is a huge difference. The benefits are huge. And the one thing, as an international, you're not really protected. You do something wrong, they can send you back. You're walking on what? Eggshells. And everything is priced high, everything is taxed high, everything is done high. However, if you're a citizen of the kingdom, you have benefits. But now, to get your benefits, you gotta take it by force. If you're hungry, you don't sit there, I'm hungry, what's the first thing your friend or your family member going to do? Then eat. Why are you telling me you're hungry? You're hungry, just feed that, take food. I'm hungry. See, this is how we live life. I'm hungry. You're walking around asking people, I'm hungry. I need this, I need that. I'm stressed, I'm depressed. Take your freedom. It's your privilege. But to take it, you first need to realize what's yours. And so what ended up happening is that when sin came along, it disconnected us from our king. And so the king was very sad because he made an agreement with the kings, his children. He said, look, go there, colonize, but you're still part of my kingdom. Australia is still part of the UK, no matter what we do. But there was a break of trust in there. Now, watch this carefully. Now, this is some good stuff. Have a look at this. Let's have a look at Romans 4:13. Go to 15. Yeah, go all the way to 14, 15.
For if those who depend on the law are his, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless. Because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression.
Now, have a look at this picture. Ooh, this is some good stuff. Now, God, who is a king, he had a law. He created laws, and laws is the way you govern a kingdom or a country. Even this country, when the country comes together, the first thing is they set laws, which sets the standard. And if those laws are violated, you go to jail because you violated the law. And God is the same. So now God set law. And these laws are known as the Ten Commandments. Now, this law and law of Moses, Romans says here, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. So how do we even get to this stage of not through the law, but through righteousness of faith? Let's look at 14. It says, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is a law, there is transgression. Transgression, what does that mean? So the first thing it's saying is there was a law that was set by the king when he sent his children to go and colonize. And these guys broke the law. And you know, if you break the law, there is consequences always. And it's the same thing with God. And so if God was to measure us according to the law, there will always be consequences. Because this is a perfect standard, and we violated the standard by doing things on our own, and we're lost now. So if he was to find us, he's going to measure us according to what this is. So what is the law? In the book of Mark, Mark 12, Jesus breaks it into two pieces. He says, look, the first part is to do with loving God. And the second part is to do with loving others. This marker. Yeah, he's loving others. Ah, there we go. And 15, he ends with the word, he says, because of this law, it brings wrath, which is punishment. When God looks at you, the first thing that comes to him is punishment. Why? Because they broke the law. Now, but God is also love. And he saw that his children got separated from him. Now, listen to this very carefully. When God looked at human in plain value, because we've broken the law, we deserve a violent death. That's what in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. But then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our God. So it gives you an alternative. If you're going to go through the law, death. The only way you can be accepted is through Jesus Christ by faith. Now, get this picture. In Romans 15, the last word he uses is the word transgression. What is transgression? So there's three key words that the Bible uses to describe his people and what happened. And transgression is one of them. Transgression is the word in the Hebrew which it's named pesha, and it comes from the root word pasha, which means to rebel, to offend, to lose trust. And you don't pasha against someone, but you pasha with someone. It means, for example, if I knew my neighbor and I'm looking after his dog and whatever, and we have a great relationship, but while he's away, I go in and I steal his watch. In the Bible, that's referred to as pasha. Is that you had an original connection, original agreement, and you went behind the back of the person who set the agreement and you broke it. That's pasha. That's what we did to God through Adam, because there was an original agreement set through the law, and he broke it. That's what transgression really means. And the next word that's used all in the scripture, it is the word sin. And everybody knows sin. Oh, this is, and we're so good at pointing fingers to people because we think we're so good, right? I say sinner. Oh, sin. This guy's sinning. But you'll be surprised. The word sin is not what you think it is. Sin is the word kata in the Hebrew, which means to fail or to miss a goal. So every time you fail, God says you sin. Now, this is why God is very crucial and he's very protective of when we try to point fingers at people that don't know God. It's because we see them fail, we point fingers at them, but God himself sees us fail, and we're doing the same thing. The only difference is you have the knowledge of grace. The person out there has no knowledge of grace. But you're both failing. You're both failing to what? To meet the goal. What was the goal? The goal was to maintain connection. Colonize but maintain connection. Which we all did. And sin now separated us from him. And the last word used in the Bible is iniquity, which is the word avon, which means crooked, corrupted, or wrongdoing. So what is God saying? This is what he's saying. Write this down somewhere. He's saying this. Humans, you have failed to what? Failed. So he used the first word, sin. You have failed That's what it says, you have sinned. It means you have failed to do what? To love God and love one another. So when it says you have sinned, it says humans, you have failed to love God and you also failed to love others. And because of your corrupted and crooked ways. What is that? Iniquity. So that's sin, iniquity, and the last word is transgression. So it says, sin is what? Humans have failed to love God and love others because of their crooked ways, because of their wrongdoing. And because of that, I have lost trust. So God don't trust men no more. I don't trust you no more, he says. You violated this law. You failed to maintain the connection and follow instruction. You failed to love God, love another. That's what it's saying. And because of that, you have violated the law. And because you violated the law, I don't trust you. But then God remembers he's got a son. And the son goes and pleads for your case at the cross. And the son cries out for our failure, for our crooked ways, and how we fail to love God and love others. And then, though we deserve punishment, the Father, being so merciful and loving, says, all right, you know what? I don't trust these people. But if you come through Jesus Christ, I trust him. And now Jesus says, okay, to finalize this thing, look at how Jesus is so good. Jesus says, all right, I have the benefits of the Father. I have the trust of the Father. I can inherit anything I ask from the Father. I can have it. But these humans lost trust with the Father. So what am I going to do? I'm going to leave my position, go down, pay for the mistake they've made, reconnect them to the powerhouse. How? By, because if Jesus was just still around as your friend, you could not inherit what you inherit now. Jesus said, all right, you know what? I'm going to go inside. I'm going to go and live inside. Inside them, inside the heart of the man, that we may become one, so that the benefits I have, they also do. So now when the Father looks down at you, because you're in unity with Christ, he sees Christ. And everything has been restored. The connection has been restored back. So now you can ask anything to the Father again, and he'll supply. But the main problem is people don't even ask. You have not because you ask not. When was the last time you actually just sat there and say, instead of complaining about somebody, complaining about your boss, your stress, your situation, just ask. It's very nice. Sometimes it's so simple. I see myself trying to panic and stuff. I say, wait, hold on. Ask. Why not ask? And you ask, the first thing he gives you is peace that surpasses all understanding. So God don't trust humans. But because Jesus is now united with humans as one, and he trusts Jesus because we are one. And that's the whole picture of marriage. You become one, so everything runs through unity. So when I see, the idea supposed to be is, when I see your partner, I don't just see her alone, I see you. It's some relationship advice. Now, because this process has happened, God can 100% guarantee to give you everything you ask for. But now, to ask for it, you have to go and get it. Let's have a look at one last verse to see how to get it. Okay. Let's have a look at Romans 10:17. Someone please read that for me. So he tells us that faith is going to come from hearing the word. And to elaborate on that, have a look at Hebrews 12:2. And see what Hebrews 12:2 says. When you're there, someone read it, please. Now it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, we can't do it alone. We've got to look unto Jesus. And the way we're going to do it, to get our stuff back through the God kind of faith, quickly open up Ephesians 1:3. So now that we're unity in Jesus, we got our eyes fixated on who Jesus is. And I'm going to stick in this verse for a while, for a fair bit, and then we'll finish. Now, Ephesians 1:3. Someone read it up.
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Where are the blessings? In heavenly places. So, let's say you're looking for money. You're struggling financially. Your money right here. Jesus did his job. He went out, reconnected you to the source. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the way. He became the way. The way to what? Now, you are here and you've been given an identification through salvation, an ID. If you show your ID, if you go to a bank and you want to cash out something or you want to do something, they're going to ask you, where's your ID? And you show your ID, they say, oh yeah, you can do it. Why? Identification is what gives you access. So he's giving you an identification, which we lost at the beginning. And now he says, look, whatever you want, go get it by faith. What does that mean? It means this one here. Now watch what Abraham did. He saw that the promise was locked up in heavenly places. He locked up in the promise. And he used his faith, which is what? Faith comes by hearing. So the more is hearing. Hearing, 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 hearing. Get your promise. Go back. Give. Prosper. Now, you want something else? What do you want now? You want shoes? Go. Here, here, here. Find a promise. Here, here. Get your shoes. Go back. What you want now? You want freedom? All right. Find the verse of freedom. Get your promise. Go. Here, here. Get your promise. Go. Oh, man. What you want? You want the moon? Find a promise on the moon. Whatever you want, man. What you want? What you want? Go get it. Find a promise. If you're in debt, the Bible says all debts are canceled. God said so. But what's stopping you is your imagination. See, this world is fake. This statement is a big statement. This world we live in is fake.
Yeah, that's correct.
Hollywood is fake.
Hollywood is fake.
Let me tell you, somebody else through imagination creates reality and you follow. It's their imagination you're following. Nothing really is real. You are following someone else's imagination. And so, who you think you are in your mind has a significant impact on the decision you're making. Where you see yourself is where you're going to end up. Why? Instead of seeing the promise, you see depression. That's where you're going to end up. Because we're functioned to work what? By faith. No one works without faith. So you will walk, regardless of where you walk. You're either walking in this path to get your stuff, or you're walking in this path to go and get your depression. Write this down somewhere. It's very key. What we believe is what we become. Fear is our biggest adversary, because fear will stop you from walking across.
Fear is
your biggest adversary. How does the world control people? Through fear. If they can get you to be scared, then they can control your mind. And if they can control your mind, they can control your life. God says, look, take a leap of faith. Jump. You know, oh my God, I can't see what's in this road. Mate, go. Don't think. That's why God always compares us to little kids. Because these kids don't think. They see you jump. They don't know what the risk of it is. They don't assess it. They jump. Now write this down again. Our expectation with ourselves, with others, is what empowers fear and anxiety. Our expectation with ourselves and others is what empowers fear and anxiety. And here's the last line. Our expectation with God and focus on the promise of God is what empowers faith. Our expectation with God and the promise of God is what empowers faith. And that's it for today. Let's make a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this word, that this word may bring forth action in the lives of the people, that everyone may find a promise that they've been desiring for, and they may walk in this path of faith and get what they want to get. For the kingdom of God is for the violent. No more complaining, no more blaming, no more condemnation. Pick up your mat and go. Go get your stuff, man. Go get your stuff. God, empower the people to not see you the way they used to see you, but to realize you are the foundation of love, that we may uplift everybody around us, for we failed just as much as they did. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen.